Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on March 31st, 2011. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. Repeat, 888-773-4496. We do have a direct line number. That's 646-652-4620. Call either one, please, but do call in. And I will need your help today because, as you can tell, I have a sore throat or a cold or something, and I'm finding it very difficult to speak. So if one of you guys can help me out, I surely would appreciate it. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, Sutton-Associates. That's Sutton-Associates.net. In his newsletters, Andy discusses, and by the way, blogs. He also has an audio blog. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. I met Andy about 4 years ago or so, and he's been a wealth of information. Turned out to be a very, very good friend, very honest person. I really like him, but what he says is very, very helpful. If it's helpful for me, it's going to be helpful for you. So please do tune in to Sutton-Associates and do subscribe to his. I do recommend that you subscribe to his annual newsletter. Liberty Talk Radio is now available via iTunes and now also on Twitter for your listening convenience. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. We have a little map there too if you would just indicate where you're listening from. You don't think there's much information, just click so we know where you're calling from. All right, not many people do that, but it would be fun to see that. I must apologize this morning. I have a sore throat or something, and I don't feel too bad, but I just can't speak. So we're going to try to make the best of this broadcast. Hopefully, I can go for a half hour. I can go longer if I do get some call-ins and have a break, which on Monday morning, I very rarely have any call-ins, so I guess I will not be cut any breaks today. But do call in toll-free, 888-773-4496. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Now, folks, let me start out by saying, I've said this before, I think I'm losing my mind, and I think I've just lost it. Absolutely nothing that we do makes any sense. Nothing. And I think this intrusion and this military aggression with Libya is just, I mean, just push me over the edge. I mean, I do not understand why we pick and choose countries around the world, determine whether or not they're in our in our strategic interest, and then intervene. It drives me absolutely crazy. This president is really no better than George W. Bush, or George Bush, or all the other ones, all the others. Of what value is this guy if he is not really analytically looking at this war? He's not looking at it from an analytical situation. He is looking at perspective. He is looking at, he is just following orders. We have no change to believe in. We have nothing, folks. In fact, Since we don't have him, the Republican Party is shot. Ron Paul, unfortunately, is really a dark horse. I mean, I doubt he'll get in office. And if he did, I'm afraid what would happen to him. I don't feel very good about this country. That's a horrible thing to say. People go, I'm an American, you know, all the way. I feel horrible about this country. Not the country itself, its people, or its constitution, or its laws. I'm talking about the people who run it. I feel horrible about it. And because of it, we've become a nation of wimps, a nation of what they call sheeple, a nation of people who just do nothing but watch television and memorize what they tell us to memorize and repeat the same old crap. Now, here we are going into, and I'm sure you've heard this before, and I hate rehashing it, but we're intervening in a country and taking sides, and we have no idea which side that is. Could you imagine that? I mean, just think about it for a second. Here we have a president that says, we're taking sides. We say, with whom? He says, we don't know. I mean, you just got to say, this guy's nuts. This guy's lost his mind. What do you mean, you don't know? What if, for example, and not that I care, because it's not going to make any difference anyway, but what if they're all Al-Qaeda who are fighting? He doesn't know. I mean, it is amazing. There's no end game again. And what I really, really detest, is when they advertise or they promote the fact that this is a NATO coalition and the United States will no longer be in charge, I mean be the head. That's garbage, because whoever is in charge of NATO has to report to the Supreme Commander. What is the Supreme Commander? That sounds like Star Wars, doesn't it? Sounds like an empirical type thing, the Supreme Commander. What kind of nation is this? This type of nation is not supposed to be at war. We're supposed to be a peaceful nation, but yet we're Supreme Commander. Doesn't that make you sick? Makes me absolutely sick. We have Supreme Commanders and czars in government. God, where are we? Jeez, everything's wrong. Everything is wrong. Nothing is right. And then they talk about, we're not leading the charge. It's NATO that's leading the charge. They're in charge now. Well, you know what they don't tell you? I want to know the number of jets by country that are flying the no-fly zone. Not around, I want to know specifically. Not only that, but I want to know the number of jets and how many flights. Now they say, oh, the French have dedicated, you know, two planes, two Mirage jets, by the way. But we don't know if they're flying. In other words, they tell you nothing. They have two Mirage jets, but they may be in abeyance, may be sitting out there in the event we call on them. In other words, all this is a mirage. Ted Koppel was interviewed on NPR Radio. I hate NPR Radio, except for there's some really excellent programs like Science Friday, you know, some of those. But other than that, I hate NPR Radio. I used to give to them big bucks. I hate them. I hate them because they're a bunch of Keynesian progressive socialists. I hate them. And they shouldn't be getting any money from the government. But they had 60 or 70% of the money from the government, and then they told the government line because they're afraid of losing their funding. I hate NPR Radio. Not the programs. Some of the programs are excellent. I hate the radio station. The people who run it. Just like I don't hate my country, I hate the people who are running it. And Ted Koppel laid out, the war in its entirety, articulately. He talked about when millions were being slaughtered in the Congo. Where was the United States? Where was our commitment not to see this happen? We didn't do anything. Now, here's something very interesting, folks. Really, really interesting. I don't have the article in front of me, but there was a major earthquake many years ago in southern Russia, in the Uzbekistan area. I can't tell you exactly where it was. It was gigantic, created a crater, and also a natural dam that's been where the river was. and it's filling up with water. Now, it's a natural dam from the tornado, the earthquake. And it's gotten to the point where the water levels are so high that scientists around the world are in 100% agreement that it's going to break. It's going to break very, very soon. Not like, well, maybe in within the next 100 years. They're talking about any day now, it may break. And the countries in that area are so poor, they haven't been able to put the resources in to shore up that naturally made dam, you know, spillways and stuff like that to take the pressure off. Right now, the pressure exceeds the ability of the dam to hold the water. They say it's going to break, and when it does, it's going to make this tsunami and earthquake in Japan seem like child's play. It'll kill millions and millions of people. It'll wipe out entire towns. No one will live. That's in its path. And they're talking about major towns that will go underwater, but major underwater, not like 2 or 3 feet. It'll be, the people will be drowned and be carried away. Everything. And yet, there was a person from the United States, I read this in the most wonderful newspaper in the world. It's called the Urban Tulsan. It's a fabulous newspaper. It puts the Tulsa World to shame, and it's a free newspaper. It is the favorite newspaper of Tulsa, by the way. Does very well. And the articles in there are excellent. And they have all rants on different areas, and they're right on each one of them. I mean, they're right on. They even have one article, one area, section, say, Ask a Mexican. And people have gripes about Mexican and the illegal aliens, and they go back and forth. It's great. It's terrific. No garbage, just straight talk. Like this radio station, straight talk, no garbage. And yet, what is the United States doing to prevent millions of people from dying? Imminent death, nothing. You know, we speak the lies. You know, if the American Indians were saying this, they say, we speak Wicfolk tongue. And they would be absolutely correct. We've always done it that way, and we continue to do it that way. It absolutely disgusts me. I listened to Obama's speech. Let me tell you something. I never listened to him. Never. I can't, because I don't have the stomach for it. And I had to listen to what his logic was with Libya. Made no sense. Now, if I had to evaluate his speech, as far as effectiveness was concerned and delivery, it was sterling. It was great. For the masses of stupid people that we have in the United States, the stupid and ignorant people in the United States, it was a perfect speech. You see, he didn't write that speech for you and me. He wrote that speech for the stupid people. Those people look and go, well, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I guess we had to do that. That's who we wrote it for. And people ate it up. And of course, they interviewed people on NPR radio. And people say, oh, yeah, I wasn't sure about the war, but he clarified everything for me. You know, that's what I mean. Absolutely, absolutely stupid people. Let's take just a real quick break. And I'll be right back. I got to juice up my
throat. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host for Liberty Talk Radio. I invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. Your comments are always welcome to comments@LibertyTalkRadio.com. 1 second, please. Right. You know, and the comments that he made before his speech regarding Congress, you know, should be more involved in the decision to go to war. I lost it. I absolutely, absolutely lost it. And the reason why I lost it was because Congress is the only one authorized to commit us to war. Once we are in war, at war, then the president takes over as commander-in-chief. Now, there's logic behind that. You see, our founding fathers didn't want one person, like they did in Europe, you know, the monarch, to commit that nation to war for their own selfish motives. And this war is another war for selfish motives. It's for the rich and the powerful, the people who own our currency, who own our resources, who want to maintain control. And our president is simply a pawn. So people say, I voted for Obama. You didn't vote for Obama, idiot. You voted for the people who own our currency. Jerk. How stupid could you be? But we're stupid people. I heard, Neil Borg. I was listening to, I don't listen to him very often. But I was tired of listening to music and stuff like that. I listened to a lot of classical music. And Neil Borg went on and on. He said, the American people suck. The American people just suck. And he went on about how we suck. And he ended the program. He would say, remember, the American people suck. And that's how we end this broadcast. And he's right. We have no gumption. We have no morals. We have no values at all. I spoke to a fighter pilot in Vietnam. He was proud that he was a fighter pilot. And he thinks we should nuke everybody. We should fight everyone. We have the firepower. Go ahead and do it. There's a fighter pilot. You think a fighter pilot would be a little bit more intelligent than that? Would be a little bit more remorseful of ever going to Vietnam and napalming those people? No, no. Nuke the gooks, you know? I mean, God, I can't, you know, when you listen to these people, you don't want to say anything because it's a hellacious argument. You keep your mouth shut, you go home depressed. And that's what happens to me. I go home depressed. I think Louis Farrakhan did the country a big favor, a phenomenal favor. Now, you know, Louis Farrakhan, he started the Nation of Islam here in the United States. I saw a video. He was the on a program with the host, Cliff Kelly, with the WVON AM 1690. And they had a little video clip of it on the computer. You may have seen it. Where he warns Barack Obama about going into Libya and how wrong it is and how people have supported Barack Obama and now they don't have the moral right to support him anymore. And he laid it on the line. And you want to know something? I'd rather have Louis Farrakhan for president than I would Barack Obama. Sounds crazy, isn't it? That sounds really crazy now. At least the guy stands for something. He stands for something. Whether you like it or not, he stands for something. And yet we have a president who stands for nothing, but he's a puppet just like George W. Bush was a stupid puppet. This guy is an articulate, stupid puppet all over again. It is horrible. I mean, every day I feel worse about my own country. They have this program about the cable guy, you know, and the comedian. And, you know, he's, I love this country. I love this country. I love his people, you know. You know, this is what we watch, stupid stuff. He's a good comedian. I mean, he's really good. Excuse me. But that's stupid stuff, and that's what we watch. We watch stupid, stupid, stupid stuff. We are stupid, and then we repeat stupid. And then we vote stupid. And then the way we react to everything, we react stupid. And I really wish someone would tell me otherwise. I have a friend of mine. Brilliant guy. I mean, really, he writes screenplays. I said, I have an excellent, I have a really good premise for a screenplay. He said, what was it? And I said, you know, you take these high-rise, I come from Harlem, you know, so this is my old area. And I said, get these high-rise apartment buildings that are being taken over by gangs, by drugs, drug lords. And people are frightened. They're prisoners in their own towers. People can't even go to the store to buy groceries without being jeopardizing their lives. and this philanthropist decides that he was going to take one person out of that and arm that person and make that person the core to change the culture of that building. And he was going to supply whatever arms they needed to protect themselves. Now, it's a little bit more complicated than that. And it's how this whole building becomes transformed, cleans out, you know, all the dirty drug guys. All the dirty drug guys go someplace else. Then where they go, he follows them, and he does the same thing to that building. Until this whole area becomes a drug-free, violent-free zone. But everyone owns guns. There's no killings. People come along. People are growing flowers outside. Everyone's happy. And the government can't figure it out. But the government knows they have guns. And you know, my friend, now you know, you can blow holes in that and stuff like that. But that's the premise. You know what he said to us? Well, I don't think I agree people should have guns. What a stupid, 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 stupid comment that was. Well, he doesn't believe people should have guns, so the only people who don't have guns, are the law-abiding citizens. And his logic is, well, then, you know, people would use it amongst themselves, and there'd be too many accidents, people get killed. Well, how many people are getting killed now in these ghettos? By the thousands. And who's killing them? People who shouldn't have guns in the first place. I'm just saying we don't think. We think everything progressively, Keynesian, stupid stuff. And what really bothers me is that when you hear stupid news people, really stupid, these news people are so stupid, except for people like Ted Tossel. I mean, he's really good. Excuse me, I can't talk. You know, he analyzed the situation, and he's a politician, Democrat, Republican. He says, doesn't make any sense. We've been there before. We know what works, what doesn't work, what we should do, shouldn't do, period. And when you hear news people say, well, you know, prices of oil are going up. We're awaiting comment from President Obama. What for? What does he have to do with it? It's like, we can't do anything. We can't do anything about the price of energy. We can't do anything about our driving. We can't do anything until we hear the president. What the hell does he know about oil? What does he know about the free marketplace? What does he know about oil options and futures? Nothing. What does he know about the production, the distribution, and the pipeline of oil? Nothing. Oh, he's got staff that advise him. He knows nothing. They know nothing. All they know is that they want the oil for strategic reasons to support the empire. That's the only goddamn thing he knows. It really pisses me off. But we always have to wait for comments by a president. I don't wait for comments by a president. I reject them. You know, and then we get really stupid. Here's where we get really stupid. On NPR radio, that a discussion about public transportation. Public transportation. Think about that. And when they say public transportation, they mean state, federally subsidized transportation. You know, in what type they should have, in what city should have it, whether or not they should build it. Wrong question. Just like last week, I talked about education. The wrong question about how many kids in a class. We should think, the question we should ask, what do we mean by education? We don't want to ask that question. Because if we truly answer that question, we'd close down every stupid school in the United States. Every one of them. Except for schools that teach engineering or science or something like that. Everyone would shut down. Especially any school that received any public funding would be shut down immediately. That's the question we don't ask. You see, as far as education is concerned, kids are naturally, intrinsically, instinctively, they're curious. They want to know, why is the sky blue? Why this? Why that? And all parents have to do is be home with kids. to encourage them to think that way and to find the answers. That's all. But no, you know what we do? We put them in a daycare center. We go to our jobs, and the daycare center makes them watch stupid cartoons all day. Stupid stuff. And they grow up stupid to be stupid citizens because we're stupid people. And stupid people breed stupid people. We're all stupid. Because we had half a brain cell working, we wouldn't think the way we do. That's make me smart. I'm smarter than anybody else. But at least I see the fact that we're stupid. I'll talk about mass public transportation. Just like education, the education debate, we asked the wrong question. In mass transportation, in transportation, it's not public transportation that should be talking about. Excuse me. We should be talking about mass transportation. Mass transportation. I mean, if you have a town, a small town of 50 people, would you be talking about a subway? Excuse me. Would you be talking about a subway system in a town of 50 people? Well, no, you wouldn't do that. It's stupid. We would do it, but because we're stupid, that's why we would do it. No, we wouldn't do that because there's no mass. Mass transportation works well in areas of population concentration. It works well in Europe because Europe is very, very, very small. It's a very small landmass. With people concentrated in areas, it makes sense. It's viable. It's profitable. And it shouldn't be public. It should be private, because if it's a viable means of transportation, someone will build it. You say, what about the roads, you know? Well, then we get the discussion, the roads shouldn't be owned by the city anyway. The roads should be private as well. But I won't go there, because we're too far gone, we can't convert them. That's impossible. But we're doing some of that in a way with turnpikes, in a way. I know that ruffles everyone's feathers, but you know, we don't have free transportation or free roads. Believe me, we don't. And although we pay on a turnpike, they cost us less than we do, than the other roads. And they're in better shape. So we don't never ask the right question. It's mass transportation. I love mass transportation. I walk a mile and a half to go to a bus stop from my house. Get on a bus, and I'll go a short distance, read a book for a while, get off. Sometimes I'll bring my bike. I put my bike in front of the bus. They have a rack for it. Get on it, go someplace, you know, then take my bike someplace else. I know, it's like crazy. I'm one of the 10 people in the whole city of 330,000, whatever, here in Tulsa that does that. I can't even, more than a dozen people do it. I'm one of them. I was like, Dad, you're going to afford to buy any car? I said, no, I like to have a chauffeur. I take public transportation. I wish it was mass transportation. It would run a lot better. Gigantic buses, and they're all empty. All empty, all the time. Makes no. And now we're talking about expanding it here in Tulsa. I mean, we're crazy. We're crazy people. We're stupid. We're just stupid people. A comment that stupid people say all the time. I'll mention it. Just let's go for station identification. I got to take a swig here of some hot tea or something. Just get my voice juiced up. Just hold on one second, please. Here's station identification now.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm ranting. I'm in a bad mood today. I'm really hacked off. Please call 888-773-4496. Please, anyone call. Call, just say, hey, my name is Bob. Just want to say hello. 888-773-4496. If you're on a cell phone, you can call direct because it doesn't make any difference if it's toll-free. And it's 646-652-4620. That's the Blog Talk Radio number. Today we're talking about But by the way, and please send me your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I apologize for my voice. It's about shot. I'm going to go for about another 5 or 10 minutes, and then I have to sign off because I'm losing it altogether now. Today we're talking about the title of my program is "It Appears That Everything We Do Is Wrong," right? And that's the way I see things. If I'm wrong, please call me. Tell me what we're doing right. I'd love to hear from you. And I also think that the actual concept of the nation state is on the way out. I mean, the very concept of it. I mean, people are starting to realize that, you know, when we had tribal barrier villages and whatever, they made sense because they congregated in a certain area for a certain reason with certain objectives and certain cultures, and that's what they did. Now, they always didn't get along with the village next to them because they had a different culture. I agree, but we're not any better now. And these artificial, you know, lines of demarcation that separate states, I can never understand. You know, Libya and most other countries around the world, were their state lines are such because the British or the Americans after World War One or World War Two designed it that way. And we have a caller. Thank heavens we have a caller. Hold on, please. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Joe. This is Adam in Atlanta.
Adam, God bless you. Thank you so much. Although I'm an atheist, God bless you anyway.
I hope you get better really soon. Keep pushing the honey and lemon in the tea. And yeah. I hope your voice comes back.
Thank you. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, you were mentioning the president and how people rely on him for his alleged expertise on everything. Obama is the first president in my lifetime who is the same age that I am. And this was significant to me. Because here, there's a president. We went through high school during the mid and late 1970s and then attended college during the early 1980s. And, you know, at the time, I'm ashamed to say it, but I was also a Democrat socialist. But thankfully, I grew out of it. And the way that I advanced my political awareness was not by moving to the opposite side, not by moving to neoconservatism, because I knew that solution was no better than socialism.
Right.
But rather, I tried to become a principled and reasonable libertarian because I concluded that libertarianism was what I felt to be the best political solution to the problems that plague society and government. So when I hear someone like Obama, I sense that he's articulate, he's intelligent, but his ideology is severely flawed and misplaced.
Right.
And though he was born in the same year I was, it doesn't appear that he grew politically.
Right.
The ideals that Obama has now, at 49 years old, whatever, those are essentially the same ones I had when I was in high school and college, you know, when I was 18 and into my mid-20s. So this is the result of somebody that just cannot expand their political awareness.
Right. You know, what a comment that I hear, especially from, and it annoys me even more when it comes from an African-American, and I don't know why. And again, you know, I'm not prejudiced at all. I mean, I was the first singing group in Harlem that was fully into it. We had black people on and home. I mean, it made no difference to me. And believe me, I'm not. That's exactly where I am. Is when I hear black people supporting Obama and say, well, and when their approach with a comment such as yours, their response is, well, we tried the free enterprise system. It didn't work. You know, and that is such a mindless, incredibly mindless thing to say. You're embarrassed for the person. Now, you're embarrassed, but most 99% of people around the world listening to him will say, well, not the world, the United States will go, yeah, I guess she's right. You know, that's the sorrowful part of it. They don't even know where they came
from.
Right.
We haven't really tried the free enterprise system for almost the last 100 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even 100 years ago, there was still not really free enterprise. There was still government intervention and hardly everything. You know, so, I mean, they're so, it's like someone belonging to a religion, and all they want to do is read their religious books that confirms that their religion is the only one true religion. They refuse to read any other religion, and that's it. And they close their mind. They just close their minds. Now, as far as Obama's concerned, I think he's fully aware of that. I think he knows exactly what you're saying. And he's very fully aware of what he's doing. But it's not as profitable for him or for the people who own him to think any differently. And that's where I'm coming from. And that's the scary part.
Right, so you think that someone else is pulling the strings, so to speak.
Yeah,
and then he's kowtowing to shadowy forces, let's say.
Well, I mean, why would you commit us to go into Libya and support a group that you can't identify? I mean, that makes no sense. I mean, the generals, for example, got to say, hey, commander-in-chief, that makes no sense. You mean there's no commander that's saying that thing? Who are we fighting? Oh, I don't know. Well, that's okay. Let's do it anyway. I mean, I can't believe there's some discussion by all of these top people who are brilliant people. No one's saying this. You know, I'm just saying this. You know, just a few commentators are saying this. I mean, so I'm saying that. No, he is fully aware of what he's doing. I think he is controlled by those people who own our currency, and he's reacting accordingly. You know, just like Ted Koppel said.
No, I agree.
You know, Ted Koppel said, he said, he says the Ivory Coast, he mentioned several places. Where were we when millions were slaughtered? I mean, they had no way of protecting themselves. We just stood by and said, screw them, because there was nothing in it for us. You know, realize I say, I'm nice to you, provided that I can get stuff from you. As soon as I can't get stuff from you, you know, somehow just, you know, take advantage of you, as soon as that stops, all of a sudden I'm not really nice to you anymore. That's our foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it reminds me, you ever have a hanger, a closet where you have these metal hangers and they're all close to each other and you try to grab one out and they all hit each other and they all tangle up and you wind up with 25 hangers in your hand, you can't unravel them. I mean, that's our foreign policy. That typifies our foreign policy. I mean, he talks about moral imperative, you know, a strategic. That's bull because he doesn't apply that. He only applies that when he wants to. He's trying to get one hanger out and all 25 fall on the floor. Now, I can make a case, Adam, that, you know, World War I is still being debated. Historians still debate the actual cause for Real World War I and the reasons for our involvement. And that debate will go on infinitum. I think that we are getting close to World War I, not World War II, wherein these entangled alliances that no one understands are going to cause this group to align with this group, to align with that group, and break alliances with this group. And it's going to be such a cluster screw-up that no one's going to be, 100 years from now, they're going to say, whatever started World War III, or whatever, that major war, and they're not going to be able to untangle it. What we are doing today is exactly what happened during World War I. Like Andy Sutton says, he says, you know, it's not true that by avoiding history, we, you know, avoid the same mistakes. He says, we'll make them anyway. Andy's convinced, he says, we learn nothing from history because we don't want to learn anything from history. It's not profitable.
Well, I agree that there are some troubling parallels between the world crisis today and World War One.
Oh yeah, I mean it.
So I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at the actual, there's no logic. Like, why are we here and not there? And why is this country supporting that country? I mean, here we are. We talk about, you know, our heart goes out to the Palestinians, but then we give Israel $3 billion in military aid. And they use that to crucify the Palestinians, those poor people, you know? And then we want to go in and we want to help the Palestinians. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Now, there are people who believe that, not the Jewish people, but the Zionists, you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. Zionists are the ones that control everything. And that's the reason why we align ourselves with Israel. It's the big money that's doing it. Not you and me, regardless of what our ideology is. And I know it sounds like conspiracy theories and stuff like that, but give me a better explanation than that. There is none. You know, people that we speak to, we can't talk to people about it because we're stupid. You know, Will Rogers said that if you don't read the daily newspaper, you are uninformed. If you read the daily newspaper, you're misinformed. And I love that comment. He's right. Now, there was no TV back then, but what we do is we watch this stupid TV. I can't stand watching TV. Now, I watch the drag races. I ride Pit Boss, you know, that pit bull thing. And there's a couple of the History Channel, a couple of things like that. I enjoy watching once in a while. I cannot watch anything else because every 5 minutes someone will say something, I'll get so upset, I got to turn it off. Because it's either so stupid or wrong.
Thankfully, we live in an age where the internet provides us with alternative news networks.
Absolutely.
So we can actually get something different than the neoconservative angle or the socialist angle.
That's right.
And there are actually reasonable libertarian news sources out there.
Yeah. And, you know, people, that's why Ron Paul is probably the most popular politician, you know, on the internet. Because you can get on it. You know, people can write what they want to write, can express their views, because no one owns it. But the people who own NBC or ABC or CBS, they're going to control that. All right, we got 1 minute to go. I'd like to give that minute to you, Adam. Close off my show. Give me something. Enlighten us.
Oh, now you're putting me under a lot of pressure. I would say to all the listeners, you know, just keep educating yourself through libertarian websites and libertarian programs like yours, Joe, Liberty Talk Radio, certainly Freedom Watch, and the Stossel program. You mentioned John Stossel.
Right.
There aren't enough out there, but it's nice to finally see some libertarian voices, breaking out of the darkness, voices of light breaking out of the darkness.
Yeah, we do see more of it, especially on... like at least on Fox News and stuff like that, they say libertarian now. Well, we're going to lose our phone line in about 30 seconds. Adam, thank you so much for giving me a voice break. I appreciate it, and I sincerely appreciate your listenership.
Thank you, Joe, and get well very, very soon. We need you.
All right, thank you very much. Bye-bye now. Oh, that was nice. I'm really pleased that he called in. Gotta be careful what I say, 'cause I might slip. Okay, this is the end of tonight's program. This is the end of today's program. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street, Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. Call them for your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign as it says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.